about the goal of missions, and this was a quote that I read, and I love it. The goal of missions, or the goal of the church, is not missions alone. The goal of the church is worship. And so missions goes forth, and all of a sudden people begin to know the love of God in a very real way, and they begin to worship God. They begin to know Jesus, and that's the goal of missions, is ultimately it's worship. And I think so often we think, oh, we'll just send the missionary. The goal is that they would worship and know God from every tribe and nation around the world. And so I think about that importance, and maybe today it was just kind of what the Lord was speaking, is that when we come to church, we get this high privilege. You get this privilege to know the architect of the age. You get to know the creator and the savior of the entire world. And there's such an authentic privilege and excitement to come into the glory of God. And that's the point of missions. That's the point of the church, is that we'd come together, we'd lift up the name of Jesus, we would celebrate him and just be moved in a powerful way. And so I think this year, it's just like 2023, the glory of God to move us into new places. And that we would sense the stirring, that stirring would lead to a transformation, and that transformed people would transform cities, that transformed people would transform communities. And so I want to share kind of the vision of where we're going as a church. And this vision is ultimately individual application, and then also collective as a church when we come together as a body, what we can be a part of. And so I shared last week our heart and why we exist and what we want to be about is transformed people transforming communities. So when you walk in, you're going to see that. You're going to hear that lingo, that transformed people would transform communities. That's collectively as one body. That's individually you seeking God's purpose and his plan, his power, and his presence in your life on a daily and a weekly, seasonally. You're going after Jesus. And it was super encouraging because, like, after the message last week, sharing the vision, people were just coming up and saying, I feel challenged. I want to be with Jesus beyond Sunday. Every day of the week, I want to be with him. And that's truly what it's about. We talked about daily, weekly, seasonal rhythms to be with Jesus. We talked about the tool called SOAP, and we saw people say, hey, I want the SOAP Bible reading plan, and you can access that on the website. But this is a tool, creative method to be with Jesus. And I think in a world filled with distractions, we need constant reminders. We need to take time, set time to read the Word of God and to ultimately hear his voice more in our lives. And so be with Jesus daily. Use a creative method called SOAP, which is scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And so that you'd be people diligent to read the Word of God daily. We gave you that homework assignment last week, and today's the pop quiz, church, pop quiz. What was the SOAP scripture on Thursday? I'm just kidding. We won't do that. But I did say last week there's homework, and the homework was for you guys to be worshipers throughout the week, to be people who are spending time being with Christ daily. And I'm telling you, that is the first key. That's the first key to become people that are transformed and make an impact in our city, our community, this region. So individually and collectively, this is what we're going to be about. This is where we're going. And so today I want to talk about this idea of being with Jesus. Becoming like Jesus. And so you can tell I'm really ready for this message this morning. And so I'll stick to the notes here. You think about transformed people transforming their circle of influence. You think about so often in the church, we get really excited when we see someone who has had this massive transformation, this huge defining moment in their life where it's like the Holy Spirit transforms them and they're just changed radically. And we love those stories of victory and they're powerful. But today, I want to encourage you to think about your own life. I want you to think about what work is God doing in you to actually be a powerful victory, that you would be a transformed person who could transform your community. I want you to think about what are the things that the Lord is trying to stir in your heart and to change you. Maybe you've been in church for 30 years and we've developed, you know, what I would call maybe blind spots in our own life. Maybe we've gotten rude. Maybe we've gotten cranky. Maybe we've gotten dishonoring, or gossip, you know, is a big part of our lives. What if that was a powerful transformation that I'm talking about? What if that's a powerful move that God wants us to work in our lives by simply worshiping, looking at the goodness of God, and being transformed to become like Him? Because I think that's powerful. I think it's just as powerful as, say, someone who's dealt with addiction for a long time gets set free and reaches their circle of friends. What if a super, you know, uptight religious person rediscovers their faith in Jesus, can hear the whisper, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and become a transformed person, can become a person where the Holy Spirit fills head to toe, completely transforms this joy, and not just a stirring, a one-time, you know, one-time getaway and go be with Jesus, but I'm talking like transformation. And what if that was all of us? What if we all just said, God, what are the blind spots in my life? As I'm the preacher and I'm telling, you guys got to change. You guys got to change. You guys got to come to the altar. You got to change. I'm like, what are the blind spots I need to change? And I think we all got to seek the Lord. And we got to begin to say, do I look like Jesus? Or have I become a religious? Have I become a self-centered person? Have I become a person of fear? Have I become a person of doubt? And so transform people, transform communities. That's individually. That's looking at our own lives. And I'm telling you, there's a better way, and it's the way of Jesus. And so begin to fix your eyes on Him. How do we change? How do we begin to transform? I'm glad you guys asked that question this morning. 2 Corinthians 3:18, not 2:18. Some of the Bible scholars last week were like, you were in 2:18. That wasn't even the right text. And so, but it's 3:18, and I believe it's right behind me. So, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, so the display of God's goodness, we're being transformed in His image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is how, like, no matter who you are, this is how you will change. This is the key to change, is being with Jesus daily. Beholding, like looking upon, knowing Jesus in the most authentic, clear way. Not any add-ons, not I have to perform to be with Jesus, or I have to do this to be with Jesus. That's not what it's about. It's all about looking to the Savior. It's all about looking to the Son of God. It's all about looking to Jesus and beholding Him, like knowing who He is, reflecting on that, seeing Him, being moved by Him, being transformed by Him, and then this powerful transformation begins to happen. It's metamorphosis. It's transformation. It's change. Think about a caterpillar, and think about a cocoon. Like, this crazy metamorphosis process happens. It's like 2023. Can we, like, allow that to happen in us, where we behold God's glory every day? We look to Him. We know who He is. We see His character. We see His love. We see His power. We experience that. We're moved by that. He dwells in us, and we are changed by the Spirit. Can we just begin to say, God, individually transform me so I can transform the influence, the city that I'm in, the circle I'm in, the friends I'm around, the coworkers I'm with, the classmates, the teammates. Transform us so that we can transform the community that we're in. That's a biblical plan. That's a biblical vision. This is a sustainable vision. This isn't, hey, one guy's going to do all the work. This isn't, you know, this isn't a one-man team. This is every one of us collectively saying, God, Make me into your image. Let me become like you, Jesus. Let me become love so that I can transform those around me. And so the key is, you know, first part is we look to Jesus. Second part is we become like Jesus. But first we got to answer the question, who is Jesus? So we got to begin to open the Word of God, which is the revelation of God, which is ultimately the Logos, which is ultimately the Word of God, which is Jesus. We open His Word and we begin to look to who Jesus is. Answer that question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the rock. He's the water that was with the Israelites in the wilderness. So we see that He's constant. He's before. He's before all things. He's in all things, and He holds all things together. This is Jesus. He was the rock. He was the water. He was the one that was providing the Israelites as they're wandering. Jesus is the light that leads to life. Jesus is light. This world is full of darkness, and Jesus is the light that leads to life. And so we recognize that He is perfect, bright light. Jesus is the Son of Man. It means he's a humble servant. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is our Savior. He is the Word that became flesh. He is the person of peace. So if you need more peace in your life, you have to call upon Jesus, who's the person of peace. He's the healer. He's able. He's the healer. Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of the law. Jesus is a great teacher. He's the rabbi. Jesus is the lamb that was slain. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the King of kings, and He's the Lord of lords. Jesus is worth your worship. He's worth your daily worship. He's worth your weekly worship. That was a really weak clap, by the way. This side did a little bit better. Back row couldn't hear anything, but I'm not going to pick on the back row, so... So we look to Jesus. We need to first know who Jesus is, and you need to know who Jesus is. And so we look to Jesus with unveiled faces, saved minds, to contemplate who Jesus is. Do you know Jesus? And so when we look to Jesus, we become transformed. When we look to Jesus, like I said, we become transformed, just like this transformation, this metamorphosis that happens. We're not going to put that on a banner. That'd be really confusing. Like, people metamorphosis into loving, kind people. But we are just simply going to say, people growing to become like Jesus. Transform people will transform communities. People who are spending time being with Jesus, they will become like Jesus, and they will have this light, they will have this hope to a community. I believe that so much. I believe this is the plan for the church. This is so important for you guys to say, what's my part in this? What am I supposed to do individually? What am I supposed to do daily? What am I supposed to do collectively as the body of Christ? We become like Jesus. Discipleship is this. You've heard the word discipleship. This is what discipleship is. Discipleship is the process of becoming like Jesus for the sake of others. So that's discipleship. So we are to become like Jesus. Jesus calls us. He called the disciples. He calls them to one of my favorite scriptures, the Sermon on the Mount, which is this pulling. He's calling the crowd out of the world. He's saying, we no longer can have these inner attitudes, these inner behavior problems. I'm going to call you up out of the world, and I'm going to introduce you to the kingdom to become a new people, a set apart people who make a difference in your world. So the first way that we become transformed people is to become like Jesus is to read the Word of God, to be in the Word of God, to take the Word of God at heart, and allow the Word of God to do something significant in you daily, to spend time. What is the scripture saying? I'm observing the text, I'm applying it, I'm praying it. But Jesus, He's doing this at the Sermon on the Mount. He's doing this as He's introducing the crowd and the audience to His way of living. And so Jesus calls the audience to follow Him, to become like Him, to become set apart from the world, which is kind of this fancy word called sanctification. You're set apart. You're set apart different than the poles of the fallen world. You have to resist the fallen world, evil, darkness, brokenness, all of the worldly ways. You're called to be out of the world to become like Christ. I would ask the question today, have you been conforming to the world or have you been conforming to Jesus Christ? Have you been in the Word saying, God, this is a heart work, this is a heart surgery, and I need to be in the Word of God, transforming, changing to become more like Him? And I don't want to beat you up this morning, and in fact, when we say become like Jesus, that's a daunting task. That's a huge challenge. But I give you hope this morning, give you encouragement that when we read this list, we begin to recognize that it is possible because Jesus is going to empower us and He's going to give us the Holy Spirit to be with us and help us. And so discipleship, again, is the process of becoming like Jesus for the sake of others. And we, as we read the Sermon on the Mount, we come to this radical call to change. It's an invitation to become like Jesus, to understand His kingdom, to see the entrance, the Beatitudes. This is how you enter into becoming like Jesus, these character qualities. Then you move to the check and the call to inner purity. Check and see if you have inner purity. Check and see your motives. Have this motivation check. So really, it's the Sermon on the Mount is this challenge to say, these are the things that are going on in you, and you have to have this check and then this change. This check, whoa, this is off in my heart, and I need to deal with this. Take the inner work. Take the heart surgery by hearing the words of Jesus and beginning to take that to heart and let it change your life. So you have inner purity, you have inner motives, you have inner commitments. All these things, Jesus is challenging the church, and He's saying, we need to have a check and a change. And so the first thing we need to do, if we want to become like Jesus, we have to say, what is Jesus calling us to do? How is He calling us to do this inner heart work? You, how is He calling you to do the inner heart work? Partnering with the Spirit, convicting these things, drawing these things out, and then saying, we've got to begin to change. We see that the inner work of loving and forgiving your enemies is what Jesus has called us to do. He's calling us to love those who are against us, opposing us, and that is the hard work. And so we begin to recognize that He's calling us to change, and we have this check that happens, and we have got to change and begin to allow the Word of God to transform our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is just the call to read the Word of God, a call to pull out of the world, to become like Jesus. Romans 12, 2. Church, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Again, godlessness, impurity, evil. Don't fall into the poles of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, renewing your mind by the Word of God. I love that scripture. Don't conform to the patterns of the fallen world, but transform your minds by the reading of the Word of God. So be in the Word of God daily. It's huge. It's so important for you to be a self-feeder, to be someone who can be with Jesus on your own, to learn the rhythms and the pace of Jesus, spending time breaking away from all the noise to read the Word of God, to understand it, to take it and say, God, let this Word check me, let this Word change me, and I'm going to have a renewed mind. Second thing is Spirit-led living. If you want to become like Jesus, you've got to rely on the Holy Spirit to empower you, to convict you, to transform you, to change you. And Spirit-led living is key. And so the first part is reading the Word of God. The second part is relying on the power of God to transform you. It's impossible to become like Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to follow Jesus without the helper and the advocate coming alongside of you to transform your life. So Jesus says this, if you love and obey my commands, this is John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Some people are like, man, you seem to talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. I'm like, I don't think we talk about the Holy Spirit enough. If you want to look like Jesus, you've got to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit every day. And so the promise is that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, which is this law-based term, someone's going to be your defense lawyer standing with you side by side in the hard times and the trials. When the adversary comes to accuse you, you're going to have the advocate who partners alongside of you to remind you who you are in Jesus Christ, to remind you what you're called to do. You're going to have the advocate come and walk with you. Invite the Spirit of God into every day, every morning. Okay, we're on our way to school with the kids. Okay, how can we invite the Holy Spirit to work throughout this day? Where should I go? How should I respond to this? What should I think when I get hit with a hard time? I have to rely on the Holy Spirit and his leadership in my heart, in my mind, in my life. Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit. When he went public with his faith, he was Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He's reading in the synagogue. This is what Jesus does. He reads the well-known scripture in the Old Testament. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." He's saying, I'm relying on the power of the Holy Spirit as I go public with this ministry. How much if Jesus is saying, as he goes public with his ministry to try to impact and disciple 12 people, to send and commission 70 other believers, to change the world, how much, I mean, he was relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to encourage me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to use me to encourage other people. And it goes on to say, he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to do miracles because the Holy Spirit would be upon him, and then to call those who were oppressed to be set free. So the Holy Spirit is with you. If you want to become like Jesus, if you want to be a transformed person who transforms your circle of influence, become much more attentive to the Holy Spirit working in your life. And it's not just a one-time deal. It's daily. It's every moment. It's Monday morning when Mondays are tough for me. Like, Mondays are just like, okay, like, it's time to wake up. And then, you know, maybe you see everybody driving so fast and you can't get on the road because people are flying by and you get this attitude. And, I mean, it's the being like Jesus, like on Monday, oh, that's challenging. Being like Jesus with slow traffic, being like Jesus when the roads are hardly plowed still, and all of these, being like Jesus, but we rely on the Holy Spirit. We rely on the help of the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that we can just talk about, but we have to truly invite the Holy Spirit to work and do that great work in us. So again, we read the Word of God. So we become like Jesus by reading his word, by letting him do heart surgery on us to change, to bring the checks that bring the change in our inner thoughts, our inner hearts, our inner motives, our inner attitudes. Let the word do that transformation. Secondly, we rely on the Holy Spirit, who promises to be with us, to empower us, to give us that strength to become like Jesus. I can see, like, all of you guys, our goal is to become like Jesus. Our goal is, yeah, I've been in church for a long time. Rediscover this fresh walk in the Holy Spirit in 2023. Rediscover the power of the Holy Spirit. Rediscover the Word of God in a way where it's like, this is so exciting and this is so challenging and this is so good. I sense that Jesus is speaking to me in a powerful way. That we'd be people that say, I want to commit to transformation all over again. I want to commit to being a transformed person by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, that it's just a natural overflow to love people well, to love those who are close to you well, to love those who are difficult, to be people that make an impact in this community. So, number three, to become like Jesus, and this one's hard. I mean, if you guys thought the other two were hard, this one's even harder. So, Jesus was a servant leader. When Jesus received full affirmation from the Father, he received full authority, he was in perfect alignment with God the Father, and he was given all authority, he gets up from the table, he puts a towel around his waist, and he serves people. And then he says to you, go and do the same. Church, like, I wish I could be like, yeah, that wasn't what Jesus said. Like, I wish I could say, you know, what's a really easy, like, let's make it easy for everybody. It's not easy. We're called to be servants. We're called to lay down our lives for other people. And every one of us is called to do it. If you want to say, Jesus, you're my teacher, you're my rabbi, I want to be like you, then you must put a towel around your waist and serve another person. I can't package this in a way that's, like, you know, super comfortable or pleasant. I just can't. Like, Rick Warren probably could, he could package serving in a way that, oh, I found the purpose-driven life, and I'm a servant, and it's so fun. And I'm not trying to not knock him, but he just has a way to make everybody think that it's just going to be easy and fun, and it's not. It's hard work. Like, he's calling you and I to become like him, which I think the one good thing is it saves us from ourselves. It saves us from our lack of meaning. And our when we lack in this sense of following Jesus, when we do that, we begin to miss what God has gifted you to do, what he's called you to do, what he's trying to get you to shift into. And so I heard this, like, philosopher, he said this statement, he said, when you lose meaning, you fall into this place where you just constantly are looking for pleasure. Doesn't that just define where people are at? Like, they've lost a sense of meaning. Again, going back to, are we worshiping the one true God, or do we worship our phones? Are we people who are constantly just seeking pleasure, entertainment, you know, the next big game, because we're lacking meaning? And I think my concern for the lost, yes, they are obsessed with pleasure, entertainment, because they don't know the one true God. They don't have meaning. But my greater concern is that the church lacks in knowing the one true God, knowing Jesus clearly, and maybe has added on to following Jesus and is struggling to hear his voice clearly and is lacking meaning and purpose in that of the form of service. So I didn't make this up. I'm not saying this so that we can fill 100 spots in this church, but that would be great to fill 100 spots in this church. Because everybody would just begin to say, okay, the Holy Spirit's leading me, the Holy Spirit's guiding me, he's calling me to be someone who can step up and serve in city outreach, or to serve in leadership, to serve in acts of service in the church. I think it will naturally happen, because when your heart is moved by Jesus, when the Holy Spirit's working in you in an authentic way, you cannot help but to reflex in an act of service, because Jesus is working in you. He's doing something powerful in your life, and you take the position that he took, and you become a servant. I give this warning. Here's a warning, is that some people who are already serving so hard, they begin to take this and they say, I got to serve harder. I think you need to spend time following the Holy Spirit and begin to listen what you're not called to do and what you are called to do, and stop being the 20% in the church doing all the work, and begin to be sensitive to the voice, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. What are you called to do? What next level are you called to serve and lead in? It's time. It's time to become the person who God's gifted and called you to become. It's time for us to impact our community in a profound new way, because people are stepping into the things that God has called you to do. Hallelujah. And to the 80%, it's typically 20% of the church does all of the work in the church. And I think that, I hope this church is better than that. But to the 80% who's not doing anything, pray and begin to ask how you can become more like Jesus. Spend more time with Jesus. Get that stirring. Get that transformation. Get that change, and say, man, here's the places where I can begin to serve. There's early childhood. There's outreach to our city. There's pastoral leadership. There's funeral and hospitality. There's care team. There's teaching. There's acts of service. There's cleaning. There's salting sidewalks. There's you know, bringing coffee. There's refilling and being welcoming to those who are coming to our church. There's so many different openings, job openings. We're hiring, church. And there's running PowerPoint. There's building and maintenance. There's sharing the gospel. So all of these things, I say these things to say Jesus is telling you to go and serve. And I can't package that in a really beautiful, you know, pleasant, comfortable way. It's a challenge. And so begin to just let the Holy Spirit work in you, direct you. Have a willingness to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 reminds us in this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. You have a gift that you are called to steward. Some of those gifts are teaching. Some of those gifts are evangelism. Some of those gifts are hospitality. Some of those gifts are pastoral leadership, prophetic ministry, so many different gifts. And it is time to say, okay, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to hear his direction, his voice. I'm going to become like Jesus. I'm going to rely on his spirit. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to listen to his voice and what he's called me to serve in. And we just step into that. Would you stand this morning as we close? Well, I love you, church. I don't mean to come with a mean tone, but a tone of, I just believe this is what is best. I think so many people just need to be reminded of what God's purposes and plans are. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. He's gifted you. It's simply just committing to be with him daily. It's committing to serve and to become like Jesus. And so step into that. That's your homework this week. How can I become more like Jesus? How can I allow his spirit to work in my life? How can I look to Jesus and say, well, this is who Jesus is. This is who he is. And be reminded and encouraged by that, compelled by his love, moved by his love. And I don't want to give one last invitation too. Maybe if you're here today and you want to rediscover your faith, or maybe you want to discover faith in Jesus for the very first time, I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And what I mean by that is rediscover your faith. Maybe your faith has just been put on the back burner for such a long time, but you sense a stirring, you sense a compelling, you sense a moving. Maybe you want to recommit to Jesus. Maybe you want to recommit to being with Jesus, to following Jesus, to becoming like Jesus. Well, first and foremost, maybe something has gotten in the way. Maybe you've allowed certain attitudes to grow in your life, maybe addictions, maybe struggles, maybe problems. Right now, I just encourage you with this. If you came in heavy, you can confess your sins to Jesus, and he's faithful and just to forgive any unrighteousness. So check your heart and just give it to Jesus. Begin to say, Jesus, I sense that I have these things in my life. I have this sin in my life. I confess it to you. I confess that you are able to forgive any unrighteousness, any brokenness in my life. Repair that relationship. Let me be in right relationship with you, rediscovering life, rediscovering faith in you. So if that's you today, I encourage you to respond. I encourage you to take a step, maybe spend time at the altar, maybe spend time just saying, that's me. I want to recommit to Jesus. I would just ask you to come and just come at the altar and say, God, this is the commitment I want to make. I want to just spend time with you. I want to commit. I want to follow you. I'm going to spend time in your presence, spending time at the altar. And second, maybe you're here and you just say, I don't have a relationship with God. I want to invite you to the cross. I want to share the cross with you. The cross is this. God sent his one and only Son that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The cross is payment for your sins so that you can be in right relationship with the Father. It's payment for your sins. You don't do anything to earn relationship with God. You don't try to do a bunch of works. You don't go to church to get right with Jesus. You simply, by faith, by his grace, you accept the work, the finished work of the cross. So if you're here and you say, I came in, I know that I'm like not right with God, you look to the cross. you recognize that God sent his son as a payment for your sins so that you could be covered, that you could be forgiven, that you could be in right relationship with him. So with nobody looking around, eyes closed, just in respect for other people, if you're here today and you just say, I came in distant from God, but I want to have a real relationship with God. I want to discover faith in God. I want to discover faith in Jesus. I want to rediscover this. Would you just slip up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to just receive Jesus. I want to trust in Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. So good. Anybody else? I just want to put my trust in Jesus. I want to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. God, you're stirring and you're changing hearts. You're changing lives. God, I thank you so much for your love for each and every one of us, that you sent your son to die on the cross for us so that we in faith could receive this and we could receive right relationship with you, Father. I pray for those that said yes to Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're so good at drawing us into relationship with you. Would you fill completely, head to toe, God, those who have responded? I pray that they would walk with you. I pray that they would walk in the word, that they would walk in community, the body. They would walk with the church together, growing in their faith in a brand new way. Lord, fill them, empower them. God, seal this. Let them know, God, that this was a true beginning of a transformation. God, knowing you, being forgiven by you. We love you, God. I pray for every one of us, God, this week to be in the Word, committed to the Word, God, saying yes to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and also becoming servants, God, each and every one of us. God, being people that are committed to become like Jesus, God, to follow you. Help us, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.